Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
St. Xavier University is for students who want more out of their future. We pride ourselves on preparing graduates with the skills they need to succeed in life. Visit xxu.edu to start plotting your path to a brighter tomorrow. St. Xavier University, the best in you.
Welcome to the Under Center podcast presented by St. Xavier University. Tony Gill and Claire are running the pod. Of course, I'm joined by our Bears insider, Josh Schrock. Follow him at Schrock_and_all. Of course, our Bears beat writer, Alex Shapiro, is here. Follow him at Alex Shapiro, NBCS.
Ooh, Bears!
Bears talk! All damn day!
You guys are really excited.
Ooh,
for...
Man, you got a moat.
He brings it out. When he just talked about the finding of preseason games, and you can say he had it loaded. He was like 50,000 a camp. But wait,
40,000 a practice, 540,000 per missed game.
Dude, it wouldn't matter if you had like 40 million guaranteed. Yeah. Once you hit me for half a mil a game, preseason game.
Yeah, for missing the game, you're probably gonna play 6 snaps in.
Yes.
Yeah, that's tough.
If you were going to play?
Right. Yeah. And of course, we're talking about Roquan Smith. So before we talk about him coming off the PUP list, because that's what he was alluding to, giving us all that information, because we know our stats guy right here is going to have it. We have to jump into Roquan and what happened yesterday with Ian Rappaport from NFL Network, correct?
Correct.
NFL Network. Because I always think about, because he used to be at ESPN at one point, it seems like, back in the days. All right, forget that. It's nothing to do with us. But it's just one of those things that so many people work for the companies, and when they move to someplace else, I always back and think about being in the company. Anyway, Roquan Smith detailed how Ryan Poles, basically, I could say the Bears front office, but we know who he's talking about, operated in bad faith in negotiating his new contract. Also, basically, he mistreated him as far as he's trying to take advantage of me, is what he said verbatim. Look, I was shocked and didn't want to wake up like that. So before we move into what Ryan Poles move, all right, after that had taken place, what were your thoughts, Alex? What were your thoughts when you saw Roquan's tweet yesterday?
Oh my goodness. Like you said, that's not really how you want to start a day. I'm you know, getting ready to shower, getting ready to drive over to Soldier Field, and it's just like, this is a fire we've got to put out. My first reaction was, there's a hell of a negotiating tactic, and it was interesting to me the McCaskey family bit about, like, I haven't spoken to the McCaskeys yet. Maybe they can salvage this, even though I don't see a path back to the organization or whatever. That to me did not ring true, because George McCaskey, I'm sure, is available to Roquan Smith if Roquan Smith wanted to talk to him.
See, you know, George McCaskey every day.
Exactly. He's around. He's out there. He's around.
The Camry pull up.
Yeah, exactly. So if Roquan Smith truly wanted to talk to George McCaskey, I bet he could have. And you want to talk about negotiating in bad faith? To me, if I'm Roquan Smith and I'm trying to do things the right way, the professional way, I probably go to my owner before going to the public. And obviously, he wanted to turn up the heat on these contract negotiations, right? But that was my initial reaction. And then hearing Ryan Poles talk afterwards, I thought Ryan Poles did the right thing and said all the right things about, hey, this doesn't change how we feel about Roquan Smith as a player. Doesn't change how we feel about Roquan Smith as a person. And we have no intention of trading him. We have every intention of keeping him on the team. And he was like, he was disappointed. I thought we were in a better place than this. He made a point to say there are record-breaking parts of this offer that we thought would communicate how much we respect him. Clearly, that was not the case. So, to me, I thought Ryan Poles handled it very well yesterday. And obviously, it will be very interesting to see where this goes. And now we have seen where this is going with them taking him off of the PUP list.
Yeah, I mean, I had two initial thoughts. My first was Roquan's move is, I mean, Alex and I talked about it, it's kind of poisoning the well with his teammates because you have, we expect three people in Jalen Johnson, Darnell Mooney, and Justin Fields in the next year or two who are going to be negotiating with Ryan Poles. Once again, a guy who did not draft them. So for Correct. Roquan, who is the best player on the team, to come out and say like, hey, they're not respecting me. They're not paying. They're offering me what I'm worth. That tells his other teammates, like, he's probably not going to pay you what you're worth either.
Right.
So I thought Ryan Poles, he obviously came out. That's why he came out yesterday and said what he said, which was, when we brought the offer, we brought the offer. Like, make no mistake about it. Our offer was good. So that was my first takeaway. And the second one was, I don't know what the numbers are. I've heard that they're not close to what Roquan wants. He wants $20 million a year. We've heard backloaded de-escalation. That's a different ballgame. My second thought was just the Bears rebuild. If Justin Fields was not on this football team, it's a straight up tank year.
Right.
I mean, it would be a bad football team. So if Justin Fields isn't on this team, we're talking 3, 4, 5 years into being competitive. So from Ryan Poles' standpoint, he's probably looking at it like, by the time this football team's good, Roquan's going to be like this, right? He's going to be 29 and on the downturn. And that's why the de-escalator is probably in the contract. Because he's saying, if I'm going to pay you, I'll pay you, but I need this money for when we're going to be good.
Right.
So those are my two initial thoughts. And now, the Bears took him off the pup list and they can fine him $40,000 of mispractice and $540K of missed game if they want to. It's not league mandated.
And along those lines, what is interesting that this happened after practice today, Roquan Smith has been present at nearly every practice. Mm-hmm. I would say every practice, except I can't like say that definitively because I haven't laid eyes on him every day. But when I look for Roquan Smith, you can usually find him on the sidelines. You can usually find him with the linebackers hanging out, you know, taking those quote unquote mental reps. He's there. He's present. He's with the group. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there today, though. Whenever we looked for Roquan Smith today, could not find him on the practice field. So that's a definite change. And he was there at Family Fest.
Right.
Right? After sending this statement to Ian Rappaport, he was there at Family Fest. He was on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Not there today. And then right afterwards, they take him off the pup list. Yeah.
So we said, I'm asking this question for everyone that's watching or listening to this. Clearly, it shows us the McCaskies are backing their man in Ryan Poles and taking him off the pup list. Now, I don't know if Ryan Poles has to go to them. I doubt he may not have to go to them and say anything. But just when you bring in ownership and you're basically going over your boss's head, you know, then it seems like, oh, you a tit for tat in a way where it's like, oh, you're going to do this. I'm going to show your ass, basically.
Yeah, the Bears played nice by putting him on the pup list.
Right.
They gave him a complete out clause by just saying, oh, yeah, no, he showed up and he's dinged. Well, what's the injury? Oh, he's injured because that we've done the pup list. They can't find him at all.
Right.
So they gave him an out.
Yeah, exactly.
You brought it up with Peter King when your question was people that were holding in as far, and that's they were doing him a favor by holding him in, and you basically spat in their face in a way, not literally, of course, but you, basically the olive branch was snapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So where do we go now? Some people read into this where they're talking about, well, this could be a good thing, a contract's on the way, or is it a situation now where this could disintegrate? And maybe like will he be here this year? In your opinion,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it's no biggie.
It's a big deal. Like I think Roquan kind of lit a match, and now Ryan Poles is just responding because that's what he has to do. Like if you're gonna negotiate like that, this is what we're gonna do. But I don't know. One, if Roquan, he's his own agent, which is a big issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like Alex and I are talking about this, like. He's training on the side, but he's also negotiating his deal. And if he wants a trade, he's also, calling other general managers saying, trade for me? Like, that's a lot to put on Roquan's plate. I have a hard time believing he's going to be able, not that he's not smart enough to do it, but that's just a lot to ask him to negotiate here, train, and then orchestrate his own deal and another contract on the side. And I don't think, yes, the Bears are rebuilding. Yes, Ryan Poles is taking a long-term vision. But it's very hard to hire Matt Eberflus and completely hamstring his defense because he needs a will. He needs a three technique. He needs a nickel. Kyler Gordon's a rookie. He's really talented. He's going to be the nickel. They didn't get Larry Ogunjobi. They like Justin Jones, but you missed your top target there. You can't not have a will linebacker. You're basically telling your first-year head coach who relies on this scheme, hey, sorry, like you don't have the pieces.
Yeah, I ultimately think it makes sense for both sides to get a deal done.
Yep.
For a lot of the points that that Josh was making, and then as he was saying, you know, Roquan being his own agent, that is a lot on his plate to navigate negotiating with all of these different GMs, right?
How can, okay, so educate me in this. don't you need permission from the team when you're still signed under contract?
Oh, sure.
But to even negotiate. And I know there are back channels. Yeah. So I'm not talking about that. They're not back channels.
Yeah.
But this would seem, if I was an employee or if I was Roquan and I was my own agent, this would seem to me to be a hindrance in that situation, because I would think if the team hasn't given me the okay, even signing a deal, I'm going to be like, tampering. Like, I mean, flag on it. Like, so like that, I'm ignorant to that. So please.
As far as I know, I mean, the team has to give you permission to see.
And they wouldn't, right?
They wouldn't. And like the good thing about having an agent is like, the agent can just text the people he knows and be like, hey, like if you're interested, like what would the parameters of the deal be? And then you go to the Bears and.
You know, okay,
but Roquan's not doing that.
Would they? Some people have alluded to the fact that perhaps Ryan Poles would want to see Roquan in this system before giving him this type of cash.
Yeah.
Do you think that's where Ryan Poles is leading, or yet, like you alluded to, it's just a de-escalator? Because basically, let's just say 3 years is when you would think this team should be trying to contend.
Yeah.
Right. And then I mean that's the long way, and I know a lot of people.
At least contending in like they should be making the playoffs.
Yeah. Real.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I hope it's more than if we're just scratching it, because year two, hopefully, again, I'm a fan, so
right.
I can't take my biases out of it all the time.
Yeah.
But still, when you're looking at it and you're talking to this man and you're saying, look, I don't think you're going to be the player you are when we start winning. Mm-hmm. And that's why this contract is necessarily structured like that. What does it really say about Roquan's future in the eyes of Ryan Poles? And how does that affect, again, Roquan? Because you're hearing it. You're not insulated with an agent.
Yeah.
You know, where, and even though your agent would tell you stuff, I think even they know sometimes, like, I'm going to leave this out.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. The agent takes a lot of the brunt out of that negotiation, out of that. They can tell their client what they need to hear, and they can also not tell their client what they absolutely
don't need to hear. Yeah.
Roquan is not being given that buffer. He's not being given that barrier. And Ryan Poles was very frank in saying, this is an emotional process.
Right.
And when you hear all of that stuff so bluntly in a blunt contract negotiation, because it is business, it's difficult. It's obviously difficult.
Yeah. So what happens?
I don't know. I think somebody's got to give a little bit either way. And I think obviously the best way is if they each give a little bit. You know, part of the reports are that Roquan wants to be paid more than Shaquille Leonard. But you look at what Shaquille Leonard has done forcing fumbles for the Indianapolis Colts. Roquan Smith isn't anywhere close to that. And there are things that Roquan Smith does that maybe are better than others at his position. But with the T and hits being such a focus on this defense, he has not displayed that yet. So, you know, when Ryan Poles says there were some record-breaking elements to this deal, you know, Roquan might have to accept some of that. Ryan Poles might have to give him a little bit more, but Roquan Smith is also probably going to have to concede. They've got to compromise. I mean, that's what they got to do. They've got to compromise. What I think this does is they were at a stalemate, obviously. It speeds up the process. Either way, it turns up the heat. So hopefully there is some sort of movement either way.
Look at you going full Shaquille Leonard.
Like, I called him Darius by accident last time.
I had to go into the depths of my head like, wait, he did say he wanted to be called Shaquille, right?
I have to apologize for a couple pods ago when I called him Darius. I forgot. He's Shaquille now.
I've done it as well. No, but
it'll take some time. It'll take some time.
I think what Alex said is right, and it goes back to what you were saying, because I think in Ryan Poles' perfect world, he would rather Roquan Smith obviously just play this year on the 9.7, because maybe he's not a fit for Matty Poole's defense. That's not saying Roquan's not a terrific player.
Right.
But, I mean, there's been metrics about he bites more on play action. He's not, you know, his arms aren't long enough for a prototypical Eberflus linebacker. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, I think Alex and I talked about this. I'm pro when you're a bad team paying your best player.
Yeah.
I think it's just good business because it sends a good message to the rest of the roster
when
you didn't draft most of those guys.
Right.
And let's be honest. You pay him, he gives you at least really, really good production for, 2 years? And if it's not what you want, you can probably trade him then or cut him then. It's the NFL. The money's not... Which is why the backloaded money kind of confuses me. Like, it's backloaded supposedly to inflate the annual value to make it above Shaquille Leonard's, which is not real money. So it's... I mean, we're just playing games here, right? Like, it's contract games, and it honestly makes my head hurt. But I also don't know... Who's going to trade for him? Alex and I were kind of going through this exercise yesterday. Like, there are a handful of contenders who maybe if they feel like, okay, we're one piece away and it's that position. Like, but it's like,
who?
Right. Like, I've heard the Chiefs, maybe the Chargers is a possibility. The Rams don't have any picks for the next decade. Like, I just don't know who's giving up premium capital for a really good off-ball linebacker, but it's an off-ball linebacker. It's not a premium position. So I don't, like, from that standpoint, if I'm Ryan Poles, it's like, Roquan, like, I'm not going to get equal value to what you bring. And also, like, there are not a lot of teams that have the cap space even to give him the contract he wants.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, not right now.
I'm going to stride up.
Exactly, yeah. It's the Bears and the Browns. Right. The Browns aren't trading for him. They just gave away all their picks for a guy who's not going to play anyways.
I want to curse. My last question when it comes to Roquan and Ryan Poles, how do you two feel about how Ryan Poles played this out by pulling him off the pup list, Josh?
I like it. Ryan Poles did him a favor by putting him on the pup list. He probably wouldn't have taken him off if Roquan didn't hit the nuclear button. You know, it's just, that's the game. And I kind of chuckled yesterday when Ryan Poles came out and everyone who's covered the Bears for like a decade, unlike me, was like, man, what a great move by a GM. Oh my gosh. I was like, well, so professional. I'm sitting here like, isn't this what general managers do?
Wow,
like,
that's, you go taking like, your shots, yeah. Boy. Sneaky Josh.
So good for Ryan Poles, man. That's what you're supposed to do.
It's like, this is what you guys are used to?
Yeah, right.
Terrible, guys. Terrible.
I will say it's kind of interesting because I thought yesterday he had de-escalated the situation nicely. To me, that was a good de-escalation move, and now he has re-escalated it. I'm not sure if it's in response to Roquan not showing up today, not being there today, turning this hold into a hold out. Not sure what's going on there, right? Yeah. That's speculation.
There were so many Bears missing from practice, I couldn't even tell you if Roquan was there.
I think we counted at least 20.
At least 20
Bears
players did not participate.
Not participating in practice today, which is a whole different story. So it's interesting how it's like Roquan escalates, Poles de-escalates, and now there's kind of been a re-escalation with the pup. It's high drama. If you are interested in soap operas and high drama and off-season, all this like hot gossip stuff, whew, is this a storyline for you? My goodness.
So last week, Tevin Jenkins wanted to smoke, and this week, Roquan wanted to smoke from Ryan Poles. And Ryan Poles is like, I'm here for all of it. Really? Like, he got up in the morning like, really?
I did have a question in regards to Roquan. What does that say to, and I posed this question on Twitter, to Justin Fields,
yeah,
where they're, this is right now the Bears' best player is Roquan Smith.
Yep.
Obviously, at not a premium position, but he is their best player.
Yep.
And this back and forth, and it seems a bit petty on both ends. Mm-hmm. What does that say to Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields, yep, and those younger players and Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker?
Oh, no, he drafted them. I'm joking.
About their future negotiations going forward.
Well, yeah, I think that was probably one of the first things I thought of was just like, this is just a Roquan doing this paints Poles in a bad light with his teammates. Why Poles had to come out and say, I've told everyone, like, the offer we made was a good offer. So, like, I think he's trying to tell his better players, like, when your time comes, I'm going to pay you even if I didn't draft you. But I think, I mean, you're right. That was my first thought was, like, if you're Jalen Johnson, you're sitting there like, man, this guy didn't draft me and he's not going to pay that guy?
Right.
What's he going to pay me? I'm not going to get my money.
Right.
Well, he did make a point of saying, my plan is to pay our homegrown talent and, yep, to take care of our homegrown talent. Mm-hmm. And he was kind of speaking in a way that Roquan, yes, Smith is included in that. Yes. So if Roquan Smith is included in that, you can extend, yep, that to Jalen Johnson. Justin, you can extend that to Darnell Mooney. You can extend that to Justin Fields. But he's like, listen, I've also got the team's interests in mind.
Yes.
I'm going to push back a little bit on Roquan not playing a premium position because you got to remember, this is the Bears. This is Matt Eberflus's defense. And in Matt Eberflus's defense, this is a premium position.
But that's the point, right? It's a premium position for this football,
correct,
team, not,
correct,
for probably 28 going of the other
point,
32.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Going to your point, if there was a trade,
yeah,
other teams,
right,
might not, even contending teams might not place that type of value. Because, yeah, I mean, yes, even thinking about it, if you're talking about the Rams, which again, we know they don't F-word, yeah, about draft picks, but still, they just brought in Wagner.
Yep.
So, like, you got, like, how much money are you going to have off-ball linebackers, right? Man, I'm going to tell you, off-ball linebackers, is the room is full of cash right now. real quick. So, when I heard the quote that you just said as far as Ryan Poles saying, we're going to take care of our homegrown guys, I read it initially, mm-hmm, and I was like...
You thought Tevin Jenkins.
No. I was like, did George McCaskey come out here? Because I was like, he didn't draft none of these mugs, right? He said, our homegrown last. So that was my first thought, and I was like, okay, in my head, I was like, okay, that had to be Ryan Poles.
He didn't grow them.
Right. You didn't grow him like you. You've shown, and again, not in a bad way. If Tevin Jenkins, if you're evaluating Tevin Jenkins and he's one acting in this manner, quote unquote, allegedly immature, and this is how you feel about him, that's your job to evaluate him and do what you need to do. But it's just still, when I read it and he said it, I just kind of was like, just a little bit, because I'm not the type of person. I will say this. I do believe if you didn't draft someone, if you didn't give birth to someone, that you can still love them like they were your own, right? Yeah. But I've had arguments with friends that be like, nah, it can't happen.
Whatever. How many GMs do you think have given birth to their players?
Several.
If you didn't draft them, if you didn't give birth to them?
I was meaning as a parent. I was equating there being a
only
parent.
Only two ways. You either draft them or you gotta give birth. Yeah, right. Man,
I got this off-ball linebacker that I'm about to... I'm going to need a large epidural for this one. But anyway, speaking of Tevin Jenkins, you came in here and you said that one thing that we do know now is that the offensive line looks like it's locked in. So please tell us who are going to be the starting offensive lineman for the Bears.
I feel fairly confident in saying that your starting offensive line from left to right is going to be Braxton Jones, mm-hmm. Cody Whitehair, Sam Mustipher, unless Lucas Patrick comes back from injury, Michael Schofield, and then Riley Reiff. Those are the guys who have, yesterday, I believe, took every single first-team rep.
Yep.
Again today, it was not quite every first-team rep.
Riley had like a half vet.
Yeah, exactly. It was not quite every rep, but it is trending. And then they released that unofficial depth chart. That's how it was reflected in the unofficial depth chart. So that's
your line.
Seems like the Bears, after all the fiddling and all the tweaking, seems like they figured it out, and they got a group that they're at least happy with now. Now, we'll see how they play on Saturday, because they're going to have those starters play on Saturday. So we'll see how they do. Why are you shaking your head? Why are you giving me that look?
Not you. I'm just thinking about...
He's upset about Larry Borum.
No, I'm not upset. I'm going there, but that's not what I'm going... I'm not upset at all. I hope Braxton Jones... I hope that their evaluation in Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles being two former offensive linemen, I hope they can find jewels in the draft, right? But it's still early, and he's alluded to his hands placement not necessarily being where it needs to be. And I love when I hear Braxton Jones talk.
You know who likes Braxton Jones?
Who?
Robert Quinn. Today, told us.
Yeah, I saw the very, quote. Very athletic. What did he say?
You just said his athleticism was rare. It's something you can't teach. Mm. But then he went in the same breath, said, like, it's not my job to coach him. So he's not helping him that much.
But I thought this. If I'm Tevin Jenkins and Larry Borum, I can't stand Braxton Jones. I mean, and it's not even, I'm like, it's human nature to a degree, because you're looking at it as favoritism because this GM just drafted him.
Yeah.
So that you're like, so in a way, and I'm not making excuses for Tevin Jenkins, but there's built-in excuses that you can lie to yourself with.
Yep.
When it's like, you just want your guy to get the job. You really, you know what I'm saying?
Coach didn't like me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Instead of staring in the mirror and just ramping up and going like, I'm going to show them, it's easy to rest on your laurels in that situation and think it's just because they want their guy out there instead of So that's where I'm just thinking about, if I was in that situation, how would my mind work or whatever? And I mean, and then Larry Borum alone, with just going from how... he was Braxton Jones basically last year.
Larry Borum just got his job taken by a vet. Like Tevin Jenkins, he just didn't perform. Larry Borum just got his job. He just got a job taken.
And he was on the third string now, Tevin Jenkins.
Yesterday he did second team right tackle. Larry Borum's second team left tackle. Today, Tevin went back to the third team.
Do you guys still think that Tevin Jenkins is long for the Bears this season? Is he going to be here for this season?
That is an interesting exercise, counting out all the offensive linemen and who makes it and who doesn't, because now it's starting to look like maybe Larry Borum is your swing tackle, and Mustipher is your combo interior lineman.
It probably means
nothing,
but like Tevin did do individual guard drills today, but I think it probably means nothing. I think Tevin will be on the roster for week one. Unless they really want to trade him. Unless
the number of Buccaneer offensive lineman goes down.
Yeah, the Raiders need a tackle.
Look at you. Still in the Bay.
The Raiders fans be tweeting me about him.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Can we get Tevin Jenkins? I'm like, probably.
I don't know. Josh, send him our way.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that stood out to you guys this last week or so?
We've talked about it, but the wide receiver injuries. I mean, the entire offense now is completely shorthanded. No Cole Kmet, Dave Montgomery, I think probably a bad day, but Cole Kmet banged up.
How banged up is Cole Kmet?
We don't know. We didn't talk to the head coach.
We did not talk to Eberflus today.
I'm going to guess he's day by day.
Did it happen during practice?
Yesterday.
He stopped practicing yesterday. I asked Eberflus about it.
Shaking his shoulder out after a block and didn't return.
Yeah, I asked Eberflus about it, and basically he said, I got to talk to Jim Dre about it. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yep.
And we did not talk to coach today, so we do not have a...
We'll ask tomorrow.
Yep. But again, I mean, today was almost like a nothing burger day just because there were so many guys not participating. It's like, what are we evaluating?
I mean, Isaiah Coulter was the star.
Yeah. You know, we have Lamar Jackson playing outside opposite Jalen Jones and Jalen Johnson
and Jalen Jones,
Jones
in the nickel.
Playing nickel. Because
all the nickels are hurt.
Yeah.
So what does it say about, like, the training staff? Like, doesn't say anything now. I'm just
for again. We didn't talk to coach, so we don't know if these guys are hurt or if this was some sort
could
of
be
weird
half vet day. Like I think Montgomery, I don't know, but probably seemed like a vet day.
So it's hard
yesterday.
To tell.
Yeah, we have no.
We
idea.
Don't really know what was going on.
We'll ask tomorrow.
We'll ask tomorrow.
All right. Well, that's it for the. I'm sorry.
No. I got a final question. Yes. We won't get together unless there's an emergency. Before their first preseason showing, correct?
Yep.
What do you guys expect? Matt Nagy's coming back to the city. What do you guys expect to see in Matt Eberflus's first, I guess, practice run as a head coach?
I have no idea. We don't know how often the starters are going to play. I'm probably just going to watch the line a lot just because we haven't got a good grasp of how the line actually, either line plays because, you know, it's half contact basically. And we don't know how many guys are actually going to play. So Justin Fields could go out there with Isaiah Coulter and Kevin Shaw and it's going to tell us nothing. But we expect that offensive line that Alex listed out to be there. So we'll watch them and then see if the defensive line is as good as it's looked against the Bears offensive line.
I'll be interested in seeing what Jaquan Brisker and Eddie Jackson can do as a combo in real defensive moments. I'll be very interested to see what the defensive line can do going up against not the Bears offensive line. I mean, we've seen Justin Jones break up so many plays. We've seen Mario Edwards Jr. in the backfield every play. Yeah, Mario Edwards Jr. is breaking up plays. Robert Quinn has looked good. Travis Gibson has looked good. I want to see what these guys can do against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I was going trenches too.
Yeah.
That's the big pressure thing. So I think that was the question that we've kind of had this last couple months, depending on what was going to happen with Robert Quinn. Yep. Did we believe in Justin Jones? Mm-hmm. So pressure. Because if they get pressure, this defense can go this year. You know, if they get pressure, but if it's a situation where those cornerbacks are just...
Well, they're not going to blitz.
You're right.
So the front four's got to get pressure.
But so that...
They're not going to blitz and they're never going to punt. According to Matt Eberflus, going for it all the time.
Gamble, man.
Stop. All right. That's it for the Under Center podcast. Rate, follow, review. Hit us with the 5-star. And if you're betting, please use PointsBet.